So you have an all-French program coming up this coming Monday at Laurel Heights United Methodist Church. I guess, first of all, let me ask, because the majority of the music here is from, you know, late 19th, 20th century, what characterizes, for those who, have heard some of these composers before, but how do they all hang together? What characterizes French music?
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that modern American wind playing is directly descended from French wind playing of this period. Especially as an oboist, all of my lineage comes from turn-of-the-century Paris Conservatory oboists. And so we really feel that French music of this time showcases the best of what American playing today can do.
But, and as far as the composition style, too, is there anything that, like, marks them as hanging together in that regard?
Well, they were also especially known for lyricism and vocal writing. And wind instruments really are just an extension of the voice. So I think you'll hear in this program a lot of singing, a lot of vocality, and a lot of lyricism.
Tell me about the piece by Millot that you're going to play here. There's even a Shakespearean connection to this music, isn't there?
Yes. It's I would call it neo-baroque. It's set up in the style of a baroque suite, but with more modern French melodies. I think it's really fun.
And the connection to Shakespeare is, like, Millot had written some music for a production of Julius Caesar, I guess.
That's right.
And then reworked this for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can hear a lot of that sort of fun, baroque, playful style in the music.
You know, there's a piece by Poulenc on the program, too, and I just love Francis Poulenc because he is a very playful composer. Wonderful stuff for orchestra. I love Les Biches and a lot of the things he's done. This is a sextet that features a lot of players on it. And you're talking about revision of music, reminded me of this Poulenc, because the piece that Poulenc wrote, he revised several times as well. So I'm just curious also, as musicians, and really I'm coming from the outside here in terms of the bookishness of the music, do you ever get a chance to go back and like compare, like, do compose, can you find earlier versions of music? And
with the Poulenc sextet specifically, not only could we compare it to...
Come up a little bit closer on the mic. Yeah.
With the Poulenc sextet specifically, not only can we compare it to French music as a genre in the 20th century, but to a piece we played as symphony members last year, the Poulenc Double Piano Concerto, because he composed both that and the sextet in the same summer. And while he revised the sextet, a lot of the themes are drawn from the Double Piano Concerto. So already we see a comparison between two pieces written in the same summer. And I think that another aspect of Poulenc's music that's so incredible is that he composed it when technology was becoming readily accessible. This is true for the whole Olmos program, actually. For all these 20th century French composers, they were composing when music was accessible much more on many more forms of broadcast, film, for music for films had begun to be composed. In fact, many of Poulenc's colleagues from Les Six were film composers themselves. And so I think a lot of the revisions stemmed from the fact that music in the classical sense was no longer limited, the way, just like the 21st century music.
How do you think that technology, recording, radio broadcasts, all those things affected the world of classical music in the early 20th century?
I think more than anything, it's important to realize that these composers were perfectionists. And I think once recording came about, it even more compounded that need to get it right. And I think later on in a composer's career, they'll look back and think, oh, I wish I'd just done this differently. And more often than not, we find this with Brahms as well. They find that they want to restructure and reproportion the pieces for something that they find to be a little more graceful. And I believe that's what happened here.
There's a piece on here that by a composer that I'm not familiar with, Palladil. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Tell me about the oboe piece that you're going to be playing.
The Palladil solo de concert was written for a contest in the Paris Conservatory. And again, in the conservatory at this time had what you could argue were the best oboists ever. And so he's writing for this style of oboe playing. And to this day, it's a staple of the oboe repertoire. And his most performed piece, although he was also known, again, as a writer of vocal music and opera. So you hear a lot of virtuosity and lyricism in what is a 3 or 4 minute piece.
Cool. What's it like being at Laurel Heights as a new venue, relatively new venue for you guys? How's it been?
It's an excellent venue. It's beautiful. It's a lovely interior. Fits great patronage. It's a beautiful venue, acoustically, visually, aesthetically. It all ties into a performance that feels very, very genuine.
When we last spoke with some other members of the ensemble, when y'all were last here, Eric was talking about the way that chamber music encourages you to be real close to the musicians as well. How do you feel connecting with the audience and here at Laurel Heights?
I think it's a perfect venue for connecting with the audience, especially because we found that venue size makes a big difference, and also the function of the venue. I think it's important that as a church, this is a community space, and so you walk in and you feel the presence of the local community, and we as musicians can also feel like we're part of that. You know, there's that stage audience separation. But somehow in this church venue, that seems a little bit more blurred. We feel like more a part of this group as a whole, like we're achieving something together.
We literally walk in through the audience mm-hmm. itself.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, it's great because when you're there for a concert, or at many churches, of course, but when you're there for a concert, you're right there walking past people. I mean, you know, if you weren't holding your instruments, you could high-five everybody.
Right, making eye contact the whole time.
Well, high-fiving happens sometimes.
That too.
Right on. Good. While I have you here also, I think I would just like to ask you about how you feel after this tumultuous December and early January about the state of classical music and support for classical music in South Texas.
Well, I think we've seen the support is there, and we're very proud to be a part of this city and continuing to perform with the symphony and with all the small ensembles that are satellite groups of the symphony, namely Almost Ensemble. There's also Soli and Camerata. There's some really great chamber music groups in town that are all satellites of the symphony, and we're just very happy to continue to be playing. And I think that we have seen a large amount of public support for our organization, and we're just very thankful to the public for giving us that support and for believing in what we do, which is bringing art to the community.
Great. Any other?
I'd like to also highlight that the musicians of the Almost Ensemble are here because of the symphony, and we're here because we like to give back. And Almost concerts are, their mission is by donation only. You know, it has nothing to do with your ability to pay for a ticket. And this is about us bringing music to the community and to the people. And I think at the end of the day, the community feels that and they want to give back to the musicians as well. So we feel extremely supported here in San Antonio.
You should always feel free to stay after the concerts and speak with any one of us. We'll be happy to talk. And there's refreshments at intermission.
Food.
That's always a good selling
point.
Actually,
yeah, this upcoming concert, I'd like to mention, is also our collaborative concert. Almost tries to do something unique with each of their concert performances. Back in October, it was our Food and Fun Drive benefiting the San Antonio Area Food Bank. And in January, we are doing a collaborative concert with some local people. We've got Lily's Cookies coming in and Niche Clothier. Both are local entrepreneurs that are going to be there showcased at our concert. So you'll be able to see, you know, and support different organizations all locally here just by coming to our concert at Laurel Heights. So
great. Well, Rynja Scherenberg, Paul Luters, Mark Toplitzky, thank you very much for being here. Good luck. Have fun on Monday.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.